Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Listener, your movie is next week. So tweet at one of us a movie you would like us to watch and talk about.
And before we get into this week's
We get into this week's episode, yes.
We just had about 35 seconds where we all had our little squares and we're all kind of in silence going like this. Was that an homage to the Brady Bunch? I'm just asking questions here, folks.
All right, but I'm the dad. If anything, I'm the dad. Because I'm going after Shelley Long like crazy. I'm just saying.
Yo.
I'm going after Alice.
Alice is a freak.
Hey, like Smokey says, the wider the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Can you keep up with what Sam's offering, though?
No, Sam is slinging the meat.
Slinging meat. He's got
Arby's. They call him Arby's on the street because he's got the meat.
He's got the magic fingers. He's got the beef. Come on, man.
I mean, urban legend has it that the 2004 number one Billboard charting song by 50 Cent, The Magic Stick, was... Sam was the inspiration. That's all I'm saying.
Sam, yeah. And lick the lollipop song that was about Alice.
Boy, 50.
The candy shop song.
Man, 50 was horny.
50 was horny. Whoever was writing 50 songs for him, they were horny. All right. This week's movie is my movie. It is a movie I have not seen since basically it came out. So the movie came out in 1988. I did not see it when I was 6 years old. So probably like early 90s is when I saw it. Mostly probably because of the cartoon. But Beetlejuice is the movie. It is currently on HBO Max, where if you have HBO Max, there's no way you could have missed it because it's been on the main screen for like a month now. It has an 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb. 70% on Metacritic. It stars Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice. It has Winona Ryder, Gina Davis, Alec Baldwin, Catherine O'Hara, Jeffrey Jones, Glenn Shaddix, and Sylvia Sidney are the main people in the movie. It was written by Michael McDowell, who also wrote Nightmare Before Christmas, the movie Thinner, and Tales from the Crypt, the Tales from the Crypt movie.
Thinner, pretty sure, isn't Thinner a Stephen King novel?
I believe so. But he
wrote the screenplay for it.
Yeah. Yep.
You take one of the best writers of our generation, and not a whole lot you got to adapt for a screenplay out of that. I mean,
You're not wrong. Also written by Warren Scarron, who wrote the Batman movies that Tim Burton directed. Also wrote a writer on Top Gun and Beverly Hills Cop 2. So that's a pretty heavy hitter in terms of writing.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, it was directed by Tim Burton. Duh. Did you need me to tell you that?
Of course it was. Of course it was.
And the music was done by Danny Elfman. Did you need me to tell you that? Because Tim Burton... only works with Danny Elfman.
I mean, how is Johnny Depp not in this movie, by the way?
Yeah. A rare excursion for Tim Burton. Yeah. I looked it up, by the
it's
way.
It's because there was a girl older than 25 in this movie.
You say that.
That's a Leonardo DiCaprio joke.
Yeah, that's the cat.
You say that Winona Ryder was 17 years old. And by the way, when she was in this movie, she dated Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp was 25 years old at the time. So,
I want to say something real quick on that DiCaprio thing. I saw a fantastic meme. It was a picture of current DiCaprio, and it's me looking at my fantasy running back that's 26. And it's, you know, it's this, you know, kind of a DiCaprio looking off in the distance kind of thing.
That's good. So Elfman, I looked it up. So Danny Elfman, like Tim Burton needs Danny Elfman way more than Danny Elfman needs Tim Burton. Like we associate them with each other, but Danny Elfman has composed for 134 movies and Tim Burton has directed like maybe a dozen, maybe. I don't think it's even that. Like Elfman just did the Doctor Strange movie. Like he does huge movies that we don't even like think about that he did. 134 movies. I don't even know how that's like possible. Like we talked about that the Mikkei guy a couple weeks ago and how many movies he's directed. Like how do you, so like I get that you can have somebody else write your movies and then you can direct them, but like he has to come up with quote unquote different music 134 times. You have to come up with a complete movie score. That's fucking insane.
Oh, he got a free 12 out of his Burton movies because it's basically just
the same
alteration of a different one.
Yeah, but like
of the same one.
I feel like we don't give composers of movies enough credit. Like John Williams too. John Williams did like a few hundred movies in his career. Like that's crazy. That's crazy. Like think of your most prolific like musician and how many albums they did and how many songs they did over their career. Maybe what, like 100 maybe? Fucking, that's each individual song. Like we're talking about like a movie where you have to come up with different themes for different scenes throughout the whole damn thing. It's amazing.
Is he better than Hans Zimmer?
Hans Zimmer? Yeah. No, yeah? Hans Zimmer is he's all about the those are the styles, by the way. Hans Zimmer does the Christopher Nolan and then Danny Elfman does
who has the best song?
Oh, it's Elfman. I'm sorry. It is.
You think so?
Simply because of the cartoon, I think. Because the Beetlejuice cartoon I watched as a kid. And I remember the theme music every single day.
I mean, I feel like the Lion King soundtrack, kind of.
Did Zimmer do that one?
I'm pretty sure Zimmer was the Lion King guy.
Okay.
You brought up Elfman doing like 130. I bet Zimmer's done like 500.
For sure.
Somehow.
For sure.
Compiler.
Yeah, he is
I'm changing my tune. He's a Craig Biggio.
And by the way, Lion King was Elton John. I mean, come on. Who are we trying to fool here? That movie had a soundtrack. Beetlejuice didn't have a soundtrack. That's another thing too, man. His movies don't have soundtracks.
Oh, God. I did not realize. Hans Zimmer. Damn. Prolific. Like Lion King. 600. Gladiator. Last Samurai. Oh,
that's good.
Pirates of the Caribbean. If you say good. Caribbean, you're an idiot. The Dark Knight Trilogy. Inception. Interstellar. Dunkirk. Dune. Man, well, this guy.
I'm telling you, in late in his career, he has been coasting on that.
I'm now agreeing with you. But The Lion King was still really good.
I love the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. That's great. One of these times we should actually do some research and have a composer off and see. We're definitely not going to do that.
No.
Absolutely fucking
I'll
not.
Just yeah, Fantasia wins, I don't know.
All right, this movie budget 1988, it was 15 million in the box office, made 74.2. So this is how Tim Burton got to keep making movies, because this is one of the first I believe this is one of the first movies he ever did.
What was Edward Scissorhands?
So I have a list here. So he did Pee-wee first. So
yeah, that was his jump off was Pee-wee.
So Pee-wee Herman saw him do like some shorts, and he was like, that guy needs to direct my movie. So Pee-wee Herman discovered Tim Burton. And then Tim Burton did this movie after that. And then he did Batman, Scissorhands, Batman Returns, Ed Wood, et cetera.
And then it falls off hard. Then it's just Johnny Depp after
that. No, because then he was tied to Johnny Depp. Yeah. And
I heard that.
I get it. I get it. Hey, listener, do you need him to say it again?
I heard that.
Oh, topical. I mean, a few weeks ago, but still topical. Do you guys remember, like, when was the last time you saw this movie? Like, back then?
At least a decade ago. I know I've seen it sometime.
Like, in the 2000s?
Yes.
Okay, because I hadn't. Like, it had been since the 90s, since I was, like, a kid. And so I, you know, we have our memories of this movie from back then. And it's not really what I remembered. Like, there were a few things that absolutely, like, haunted me when I was a kid from this movie. Like, the scene towards the end where they, where Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin, like, stretched their faces out and, like, the eyeballs came out of the mouth or whatever. Like, when I was a kid, like nothing else in the movie scared me. Beetlejuice isn't scary. Like, nothing else is scary.
Betelgeuse.
Yeah, Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse.
I forgot that I was spelling Betelgeuse or whatever the fuck it was.
The only time it's spelled as in, like, what's on the cover is on the cover.
On the cover?
Yeah.
There was, like, an original concept movie that the writer for this made or something like that, and it, like, it's spelled that way, too. It's, like, with the G. It's Betelgeuse, because I'm pretty sure it's based on something.
It's based after, like, a star, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Planet somewhere deep. A nebula. Like that.
Based on a nebula. Let's just say it's a nebula, because I want to say it's a nebula.
It's spelled that way. And I'm sure, you know, whoever did this, Fox, whoever's like, no one's gonna know how to say this fucking word. So
we're
just
not pronouncing a movie in German. That's not gonna happen. In these United States of America, Timothy, we're not gonna pronounce a movie in German.
I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Is there any other movie where the title of the movie is the name of a character that's in a movie so little?
Oh, yeah.
Beetlejuice is like, he's in this movie for like 10 minutes. Keaton's like, I got a week to shoot what you need. I'm the main character. It's named after me. But they don't use it really.
Barely at all. It was almost like they were... I mean, they didn't really do this in the late 80s so much, but it almost seems like if this movie came out nowadays, it would obviously be setting up a second movie, you know, like, because they introduce him at the end of the movie. And so, like, they allude to him, you know, you have the book for the recently deceased, and then he sort of, like, randomly shows up, then he, you know, shows up on the TV. And then they're like, hey, have you heard of this Beetlejuice person? Ah, don't say his name. He's terrible, blah, blah, blah. So you only hear about him. And then at the end, he completely takes over the movie and, you know, whatever. And then it's like, okay, now we have this character. Now let's do a 3-picture series of this Beetlejuice character. But they didn't do that. And so now you're just like, well, I expect. So again, like, expectations, like, I remember there being a lot more Michael Keaton in this movie. And there wasn't. Yeah,
there's not a lot. And I did not remember that Beetlejuice is, like, crazy horny.
Super horny.
He's just trying to get Gina Davis the whole time.
Like, he's like Alice.
Grabbing her tits and, like, trying to finger blast her and shit. Like, easy there, Beetlegeist.
Sam needed to bring the meat and calm down old Beetle. Betelgeuse.
Beetlegeist. Take it easy. No, you're... His whole thing was being horny. That is his entire character trait. That's it. Is being horny because because what did he do with Winona Ryder too? By the way, 17 years old when they made this movie. Again, his whole thing is like, all right, I gotta marry Winona Ryder. Why? Okay, so that's his green card.
I guarantee you, there's a Reddit that is like, okay, Beetlejuice. Marrying Winona Ryder, 17, Hillary Clinton, Epstein Island. Let's think about it. I guarantee you that's somewhere out there.
There's a video of it on Hunter Biden's laptop.
By the way, that Hunter Biden video movie, the Breitbart, looks so good.
I want to watch it so bad.
It looks so awesome. Really, I won't pay for it.
No, but it looks awesome. I want to watch it.
Yes.
But I did read that maybe it's not great because I love Keaton. But he ad-libbed like 90% of his lines and stuff. So
it's actually Keaton who's the hornball?
Possibly. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting.
Look, 80s.
Like, it was not in the script for him to finger blast Geena Davis. So.
Because he absolutely tried that three or four times. like reaching around. Yeah. Like,
and like the funny thing this is not me saying Geena Davis was not attractive, but she was definitely dressed as like.
No, she was dressed like she was from the
a Quaker.
The prairie.
Yes.
Okie from Skokie, is that what they say?
Yeah. Okie from Skokie.
Yeah.
And also, I knew it was Alec Baldwin, but if I didn't know it was Alec Baldwin, I probably wouldn't know it was Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Very different. Like, Alec Baldwin took a serious turn around like the mid to late 90s where he started slicking the hair back.
Yeah.
And then he started wearing suits, and then he became smooth Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
This is like dorky, nerdy,
dorky,
Tim Burton Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Glasses, yeah.
He was bad, too. Not, he did not act very well.
You would not
say
that to his face, I guarantee.
Well, he might shoot me.
So. We've heard those. Well, I was going voicemail. You went with the.
Oh, were you going voicemail? All right.
God damn! Why'd you got to take it?
I was going murder,
man. Jesus, what a downer!
Murdered with the voicemail.
Good grief!
Was he the? You're a drunken little piggy.
You're a little fucking piggy. Yeah.
That wasn't Mel Gibson.
No, no, I think Gibson was going after blacks and Jews.
There was a lot more Jew talk in Mel Gibson's one.
Yeah. That wasn't the same call.
No. And he wasn't eating a cheeseburger either. What's his name? Baywatch guy.
Oh, Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff. Man, I put all three of those calls together, dude.
That would be the best. Okay, I walk that back. Not the best.
Best is
a
not
very
the right
memorable
word.
Phone.
Memorable.
And then he combined that with the Donald Sterling one too. That's a hell of a voicemail.
Oh god. But you need the Viviana Stiano. I'm his little sugar rabbit. He calls you that? No.
Good God, lady. Catherine O'Hara was great in this movie.
She's
great in every movie, you know. She really is. Like, I haven't watched I haven't watched a few of the Christopher Guest ones. Like, I haven't watched Best in Show, but literally everything she's in, I can't think of anything I've ever seen her in where she's not been like one of the best parts of the movie, because she's so good. Man, like, her
she always plays that high energy kind of frantic, you know, home alone mom. Yeah, like, she's constantly searching for McAllister. That's all her life is searching for him.
She did leave a child stateside as she flew abroad. So, I mean, we can just say,
my child. Baby.
I have a child.
I
don't know why that just, popped in my mind.
Titanic. Titanic next week.
Yeah. I have a child. Yeah,
Zane Munch.
Listener, feel free. All of us have like 4 hours to spend watching a movie, so feel free to.
No, I'm saying this September, I kind of floated it in the group chat.
Uh-huh.
Sandworm month.
Yes, yeah, Sandworm month for this. Yeah.
Tremors, Dunes.
Again, Sandworm underplayed in this movie too.
And boy, the graphics are bad.
I remember more Sandworm.
Oof. Graphics. I did not know they were that bad.
You're thinking, I think a lot of our age think of the cartoon more than this movie.
Yeah.
Because the sandworms, I think, were more prevalent, and Beetlejuice was actually in the cartoon. So I think that's a thing.
I think you're right.
I was trying to think of why our generation likes this movie. I don't know if...
That's I think
thing.
It's because...
No, that's a thing. It's Tim Burton.
I think it's because...
The Winona Ryder crush? Is that
no,
what it is?
No, I honestly my guess is it's a movie we saw when we were too young to see it because our dad or cool uncle or cousin or something was like, hey, watch Beetlejuice with me. There's going to be a guy who tries to finger blast a prairie schooner. And we're like, oh, yeah, and a sandworm. And then we watch it as adults. We're like, okay, I mean, whatever.
Well, but
why did I think I liked it so much?
I honestly think it was Tim Burton because we were, like I said earlier, we were just introduced to this style and we had never seen anything like it before. And then Pee-wee came out. All of us fucking loved Pee-wee when it came out.
Did.
This came out along with the cartoon side by side. So we're like, Beetlejuice is the shit. Like, see, I'm watching this cartoon every day. Like, this is awesome.
I'm not a Tim Burton zealot though. Like,
right. He's fallen off, but again, then you had Edward Scissorhands. Everybody loved that. I think it like won awards. And then you have the Batman movie come out right after that. Everybody to a person loves that first Batman movie and the second one, by the way. And so it's like he had that run where we're first introduced to him. Everything he does is perfect. He can't miss. And so that's how we remember it.
And then he had the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Us not watching it for 30 years, we're like, oh, I remember this being great. Well, it's not as great as I remember it.
I enjoyed it, but
by the way, I'm fucking ignoring your Nightmare Before Christmas take. I don't want to talk for fucking 20 minutes about how wrong you
such
are.
Such a bad movie.
Well, was it because
Jacques Skellington?
Jacques, the fucking Pumpkin King. Moving on.
Be a Halloween movie or be a Christmas movie.
Figure it out, bud.
You fucking libertarian ass movie. Fucking pick a side of the fence.
Well, was he the first person to kind of do these like light-hearted macabre style movies? Because that's the only way I could see people liking this movie.
Yeah, and by the way, like I was gonna say that about Catherine O'Hara too, because she, like what she was so good at, and I'm sure why he hired her for this, is because she was so good at playing that frantic, not super in control of any situation that's going on with her, but also being sort of sweet and having that like she actually cares about the people. And so like she's crazy. She's an artist. She's super frantic. She, for some reason, trusts this designer guy with all of her decisions.
The guy from Demolition Man.
Yeah. She genuinely loves her family, like her husband and her stepdaughter. Like she genuinely wants what's best for them. Also, she's like a little bit crazy. But again, that's like Catherine O'Hara is perfect for that. And like that's sort of the style, like you said, of Tim Burton movies. It's a super weird, creepy person or situation, but it has like that, you know, I don't want to sound like corny or anything, but it has like the heart behind it. You know what I mean? That's sort of his theme.
It did have the little like extra dark side that I didn't, you know, I was probably too young to realize that like everyone that was working for whatever the hell they were at.
You mean besides the sexual assault? Attempted all the
yes,
time.
Besides,
okay.
Right. Yes. Everyone that was like an employee of like for the dead were all people that killed themselves.
Yeah, a lot of suicide.
So it's the same. Yeah. So it's the same thing with Beetlejuice. He killed himself as well. That's why he was
working. Betelgeuse.
Betelgeuse.
Beetlejuice. Is that right?
Killed himself as well.
Is that right? Yeah. Well,
there's
yeah because she
guy that
because her throat was cut. Like what's
that? Hung himself.
He hung
came
himself.
In.
Two of them hung themselves.
The guy that.
Well, no, well, because one of them got ran over by a truck, right?
I could have jumped in front of a bus. Jumped
I did like bus. That guy.
Okay.
Hey, how's your day? Look a little flat.
Then zips off. Yeah. So there's some actual like kind of dark stuff involved here.
Hey, suicide. Let's laugh.
Yep.
I do like. You know, I have a soft spot for his style, you know, just like his art style, like the weird designs for the art that he made, the weird designs for the building. Like when the doors like appear, there are all these crooked, weird angles and stuff. I've always sort of liked that about him. Like he brought it to the Batman movies too. And I thought it made them cool. I don't know. I get why people don't like him. It's mostly because of the last 20 years, but like,
what has he done in the last 20 years?
Well, he did the remakes of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movies.
Oh god, that was Oh,
I thought he did that. Did he do the Alice in Wonderland stuff as well?
Alice in Wonderland.
You want to know what? I will say I did not mind that remake. I'm not saying it was good or great.
I didn't hate the first one. I didn't.
The first one was fine. Yeah. The Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, get all the way out of here.
Such a bummer. Like, why even try that?
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
I think the thing that knocks him is that he like only uses Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah,
in
and his
every
ex-wife.
Movie. It's like, it's like they're like Tarantino. It's like mix in some different actors here and there in your movies.
Tarantino does do it better, though, in fairness.
He does. Because he actually gives them like different roles. I swear Depp's character is the same in every fucking movie he's in.
No, let's do a Tarantino movie and I guarantee you I can cut him down. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh, God, I never want to go back there.
Why haven't we done a Tarantino movie yet? That's kind of crazy.
Those are 3 hours.
I should.
My next movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Seen them all also.
Pick Django. I want to watch Django.
Nope. No.
We're not going to talk the themes in Django?
No. Okay. I am not. No. There are themes in there I don't think I can articulate. Fair enough. Yes, I can articulate
Fiction,
that
sure
one.
Crush. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of that you can go after. But was, I was thinking too, was this the first mainstream emo that anyone had ever seen?
It could be. I was wondering that too. Like, you brought up Helena Bonham Carter. Like, which came first? Like, Helena Bonham Carter looking the way she looks, or her being married to Tim Burton? Like, do you think, like, where do you think her style came from? Was it her own?
The ultimate chicken and the egg.
Or did she get it from Tim Burton?
I think she saw Winona Ryder was like, hey, he likes these weird emo girls. I'm going to change my personality here. And
he's into bag weird, he's into weird emo teenagers. That's what I got to emulate.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Does it ruin it for you that Winona Ryder was 17 at the time?
I think I'm numb to it, to be honest.
Because to be fair, like, we were I feel like 5 and 6 when the movie came out or whatever. So,
well, I mean, I feel like when I was 14, I watched a cartoon where Pocahontas was 12 and was, you know, behind the scenes, there were bad things happening to her.
Are you guys currently watching the new House of Dragons?
I've watched the first one.
All right. Well, last episode, they're trying to marry off a 12-year-old to the king.
Yeah,
so
the height difference. I've seen
more,
that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It was a very kind of awkward, about like 2 minute scene where they're walking together. It's like, ooh,
yes, that still is gross. It's tough.
And it's even, like, oh, especially when they're like, hey, only a couple years till you could bang her. It's like, oh, she's still 14. Ooh.
Oh.
Oh.
What'd you think of the second episode in like 2 seconds? We don't need to sidetrack it. Is it good?
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like the first one, so, okay.
So there were two songs in this movie that are sort of iconic that I hadn't thought of since, like, in a really long time. Again, like, watching this movie for the first time in a really long time, I hadn't thought of, like, that, what is it, the Rock Senora song or whatever. Hey, senora, take it all the time. Like that one.
Whoa, senora, fuck the body line.
And then what was the other one? Like, so there was the scene where they were trying to haunt them and they, like, possessed their bodies and then did a song too. And now all of a sudden I'm blanking on it. What was the first song? That's going to bother me. At the dinner table. Yeah, I can't remember. Where it's like, oh my God, that is going to bug me so much.
By the way, yeah. Do you guys know that Robert Goulet was in this movie?
Goulet.
That's what I meant.
You can't take him serious now, ever seeing him again after Will Ferrell.
Trying to find
I
the
don't
Beatles
know the song.
I know.
And here's the other question. When did the first
Deo.
Candyman
it's
come out?
Deo.
Oh, you're right. Deo. That was so That's obvious. Deo. Yeah, you're right.
That was big for like 10 years after that movie came out. All right, sorry. You were saying.
No, that song doesn't apply to the Pacific Northwest people, because when daylight comes, yeah, they shutter their home. Ayo.
Yeah. When did the first Candyman movie come out? I feel like that was in the 80s too, wasn't it?
Ooh, yeah, probably early 90s.
Who stole what, where you say the name three times and it appears, kind of thing?
Was that a Red Rum thing?
Red Rum.
I don't think that was a Shiny thing.
Candyman was 1992.
92, all right. Well, give the nod to Burton there.
Well, you didn't have to say it three times. All you had to do was say it in the mirror, right? Did you have to say it three times in the mirror?
You had to say it three times.
Yeah, it was three times.
Candyman.
Or was it five times?
Candyman.
Was it more?
That's too many. It has to be. Five is too many. No one's doing five.
Yeah, that's wasted energy. That's false hustle.
No one's doing.
Candyman, how many times? In Day of the Dead, the lynch mob chants Candyman five times before he dies. That's a different
movie. No.
It is five? Oh, man. Yeah.
What happens when you say
never gotten killed?
That
would not
times.
Been five.
It was five times. That's a lot.
Yeah,
of
I would
times.
Have never. Yeah, I would have never been killed. Times. I'm giving up after three.
No. Yeah, man. That's
hey, you're not here. Yeah. Okay, maybe I'll give you a fourth. Five times. No.
That's too many times to say any word in a row.
Like there are, I think, two things you do five times in your life that you're before like you give up.
I cannot wait to hear this.
You work out. You know, you've done it. And you have sex five times.
Well, like in one sitting?
No. I'm just saying in general. Before you give, you're like, okay, I'm bad at it. You know, whatever. Like, I'm
Jesus,
out.
Man. You got like a ginseng IV hooked up? How are you doing that? Good for
okay,
you.
Five pumps.
Good for
all
you.
Right, so, all right, we're going to go off.
Even
we're
so,
go back
man.
To little...
Five pumps. Congratulations.
We're going to go back to a little sports here.
Sports!
Because we're on the topic. Did you guys see the whole Lou Holtz like wrote Brian Kelly letters?
I did.
And Brian Kelly never. Did you see how many he wrote to him?
No.
Nine. He wrote him nine letters.
Like handwritten.
And Brian
notes?
Kelly never responded to him. After three, you're like, this fucking guy. And he keeps knocking him out. Wrote nine letters.
I would love to see how rambling those letters are.
Are they legible? That's my question. Like, I
and
know
if you read a Lou Holtz letter, do you read it in Lou Holtz's voice?
Yeah.
I should really run the toss power sweep to the right, I guess.
Here's kind of a shitty thing to say, but is there a way that he thought he only wrote him one letter instead of... He just maybe it was the same letter over and over. He just
You're right, that is a shitty thing to say.
It is, but
he doesn't know Fox News hits, I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my god.
God. That makes sense. I was because I did see a bunch of like Lee Corso kind of slander come
yeah,
up on
that
the timeline, and it's like, and it's like, I won't go
that.
After Corso, but
no,
Holtz is
on
it. I
didn't watch that game day on Saturday, but I heard Reese Davis say that they all did it remotely because it's week zero. Who the fuck cares? And so there was just a lot of technical errors. And because he's the oldest one there, it made him look worse than the other guys.
Yeah.
But he said they all look terrible. It just was worse with him. Again, I didn't watch it, so I don't know. But yes, that slander was bad. And why are you slandering Lee Corso?
I know. He's a nice guy. He's not hurting anybody. He's not saying, he's not saying Trump won out there.
Never been annoying in his whole life, yeah. All right, let's. We got a few minutes here. Let's actually talk about the movie and grade this thing. So, I mentioned O'Hara's like performance earlier. I feel like everybody did their thing in this movie. You know, like I feel like Winona was good. like in her way, like that was pretty classic, you know, kid Winona in a movie. I think Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis were like a good, believable, cute couple who just loved each other and wanted to live in their city and died and had no idea what they were doing. I feel like the dead people, like they were all funny, good characters. Yeah.
Was their death the exact same death that Bill Cosby had in Ghost Dad?
So it was a bigger bridge though, right?
Isn't it like it was a bridge.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right.
I mean, I don't remember.
I think Bill died in a covered bridge.
Yeah. I don't remember a dog.
What was he doing in that covered bridge before he died?
We don't want to know.
We don't want to know.
He probably drugged the female driver.
Yeah.
God damn it. Sorry.
Yeah. He's a pile of Jell-O pudding now.
What are you, pudding pups?
Jell-O pudding. Yeah, a dog did not jump off a wooden board to cause Bill Cosby to die in that movie either, I don't think. Classic.
No.
I thought the dad was good in this movie too.
Jeffrey Jones is
classic.
Yeah. But,
no, again, like the casting of the parents was perfect. Like O'Hara and Jones together were a really great mix.
But usually he plays the guy that's like, he's the always angry dad or
bad guy.
Always like the
asshole.
He's the Michael McKeenan from last week. He's that neighbor that's the dick kind of thing.
I thought
he was like the nice guy in this one.
Before the movie started, I thought that character was played by McKean. Like I thought I remembered him being that character. And so it's funny you say that. Okay, so let's grade this. Unless you have one more thing.
What's it out of 5 this week?
It's out of 5. Yep.
Oh, I thought it was out of 4. Damn it. Got it wrong.
So it's my movie. I'll grade it first, unless you have one more thing you wanted to say first. No? Okay.
No.
I give this movie a 3 out of 5. I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It's serviceable. I still want, like, I've been trying to convince my kid to watch it, and I still want to convince her to watch it, and I'll watch it with her.
What'd you give Brady Bunch last week? Like a
1.5.
I don't know. This movie is twice as good as Brady Bunch was.
And I think that's saying something. That's not a good movie, but that was a good podcast about the movie.
I give Betelgeuse.
Betelgeuse.
A 2.75 cocktail shrimps out of 5.
There you go. Cocktail shrimps that turn into fingers.
Yeah, I believe you.
Rock the body on time. Okay, nice to meet you. All right, Ski.
I'm going to give it, 2.5 shrunken head guys, which I think I remember was like prevalent in the cartoon.
In the cartoon, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was thinking maybe that was Johnny Depp. Maybe he was the shrunken head guy. That's how he got him in there.
So Johnny Depp was in the suit with the small head? Is that his first role with Tim Burton?
Yes.
That would be a great bit of trivia, like famous people playing stormtroopers in the new Star Wars movies. Like Johnny Depp was the shrunken head guy. That's great. All right.
This movie was not.
Yeah. Not as good as I remembered.
Mm-mm.
It was fine.
Sure.